Let's pray. O Lord, may the meditations on all of our hearts and the words from my lips be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So from the gospel reading that we just heard, we see this verse. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. Such a state of affairs is not that uncommon today, is it? People go to the doctor, seeking health and healing, and instead the pain continues. And in some places, it even gets worse. Then you get your medical bill, and once you calm down and you can breathe a little easier, you realize that these services that you're paying for aren't really helping that much. In the text, it says that this woman spent all that she had. Now, with the expense of healthcare these days, even with insurance, it's not hard to fathom spending all that you have on any number of debilitating diseases. And so we can relate to this woman here in the gospel reading, who had done everything she could to be healed, only in the end to find herself destitute and physically worse off than before. Now, living below the poverty line with a chronic illness is bad enough. But this woman here with the discharge of blood, she had an even bigger problem. And that is, since she was discharging blood, that meant that in the eyes of the Jews, she was ritually unclean. And therefore, she could not enter the temple to worship. She was excluded from the worshiping community because, under Mosaic law, a discharge of blood meant you were unclean, and therefore you could not enter the holy place of God. Physically and spiritually, this woman's life was a wreck. I mean, how would you like it if you couldn't go to church for 12 years because you had a chronic back pain or the common cold? Luckily for her, she heard the report of Jesus. She heard about Jesus, and so she concocted a plan. When Jesus comes to town, she thought to herself, I will mix in with the crowd, and I'll come behind Jesus, and I will touch his garment, and then I will be healed. Now, this is going to kill two birds with one stone. By touching the garment, Jesus will not have to be defiled by touching unclean flesh, and the woman will receive the healing that she desires. And it happens. This woman had faith. She believed that she would be healed by only touching the garment of Christ, and it happens. She touches the garment, power goes out from Jesus, and she is healed. Now, if the woman thought she was going to be discreet about all of this by mixing in with the crowd and touching the garment, it doesn't happen. The Lord Jesus perceives that power goes out from him, and he asks the question, who touched my garments? He turns around, and the woman does not try to hide, but in fear and trembling, she prostrates herself before the Lord Jesus Christ, and she tells him everything. Friends, we can only imagine how Jesus' response must have sounded to this woman. 12 years of discharging blood, 12 years of suffering with this sickness, and she is healed. He doesn't turn her away because of her sin. He doesn't chastise her for being deceitful and mixing in with the crowd, no. He looks at this woman before him, and our Lord Jesus says this, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. By the words of Christ, this woman is healed from her affliction. And yet we know there's more to the story, isn't there? This woman is not the only woman in today's text who has received healing and restoration from Jesus. There is another, and that is the daughter of Jairus, a ruler of one of the synagogues. The daughter of Jairus is on the verge of death, and Jesus is going to her when he encounters the woman discharging blood. And as Jesus is speaking words of absolution and healing, news arrives. Jairus, your daughter is dead. Why continue to trouble the teacher? In other words, once death comes, there's really nothing God can do about it, right? Wrong. Big time wrong. Jesus would prove that he is the Son of God and he has authority. Authority even over death. When he shows up at the house, oh, there's weeping, commotion, great lamentation taking place. But Jesus banishes all sorrow and death when he takes this little girl by the hand and says, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And by his word, this little girl is resurrected from the dead. Do not fear. Only believe. Brothers and sisters alive to God in Jesus Christ, these two accounts in today's gospel reading, they are fantastic texts. We marvel at them. We enjoy hearing them. But they do present a bit of a problem for the modern reader. It's not uncommon to think that if Jesus healed these people, why doesn't he heal me? Why does Jesus permit us to linger in our sicknesses, our aches, our diseases? Why doesn't Jesus just wipe out our aches and pains in the blink of an eye? Those are the questions we ask ourselves. And far be it from me to say they're bad questions. Who likes to live in pain? Who likes to suffer every day with an illness? Especially when we see in the Gospels how easily Jesus healed people who needed it. The paradise of Eden, a time when there was no sin, a time before the fall and transgression of man. The paradise of Eden came crashing down a long time ago because of the transgression of man. And because of the transgression of man, many are made sinners, and the world has been reeling and suffering from the effects of sin ever since. And brothers and sisters in Christ, the world never fails to remind us that what God's word says is very true. The wages of sin is death. I was working on this sermon Thursday morning, and my wife stumbled across some news on Facebook. And that news was one of our acquaintances in college had died of a massive stroke. There were no serious signs of a medical issue. It happened without warning, and she was 33 years of age. At 33, she had a massive stroke. Now, to my knowledge, massive strokes do not occur very often to people that young, but it happened. After lingering on the verge of death for approximately a month and a half, she died Thursday morning. Thankfully, she was a Christian. But as I was taking this news in while I was wrestling with this gospel reading, the thought crossed my mind. While she was in hospice, Jesus could have restored her back to life and brought her back to her family, friends, and loved ones to enjoy a little while longer, but it didn't happen. At least not yet. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Take heart. Again, hear the proclamation from God that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Friends, in today's gospel reading, the healing, the restoration, the resurrection that we see, that is a snapshot of what is to come. Here in the Gospels, we see a glimpse of what we have to look forward to by being baptized children of God. What we see here in the gospel reading is that for the Christian, for the believer in Christ, the inevitable end is healing, restoration. It is a resurrection of the body. Just as the woman discharging blood was healed, just as Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, for the Christian, you have healing and a resurrection of the body to look forward to. Now, we want those things as soon as possible. We desire healing here and now. Sometimes we're not nearly as patient as we should be, right? But friends, keep in mind, the important thing is not when these things will happen. The important thing to know is that they do. For the Christian, death does not have the final say. For the Christian, a debilitating body filled with sickness, weakness, pains, and disease, that is not the end of the road for the person alive to God in Jesus Christ. Hear this glorious word. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says this, quote, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, imperishable. And we shall all be changed, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality." Let me read that last part again. This mortal body must put on immortality. Christian, healing is yours to look forward to. Restoration, a resurrection of the body, is yours to look forward to. Immortality with God is His promise to you, all for the sake of your Savior Jesus Christ. One day, you will live in immortality with your God. The perishable will put on the imperishable. You will be free from the painful effects of sin. That will mean no more depression, no more worrying, panic, fear, sickness, suffering, disease, death, all of it done away with as you bask in the presence of your Lord and your God in the paradise that He has secured for you by His shed blood on Calvary's cross. Furthermore, remember, Christian, how these promises belong to you. To the woman in today's text, to Jairus, Jesus, when He speaks to them, He points out to them their faith. To the woman, "Your faith has made you well." To Jairus, "Do not fear, only believe." Only believe. Not believe, labor, and work for it. No. "Do not fear, only believe, thus saith the Lord." Faith, friends, grabs hold of the promises fulfilled for you in Jesus Christ. Faith grabs hold of those heavenly treasures secured for you by the blood of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus did not reject these people because of their sins. Jesus did not receive these people and give them healing because they were great, outstanding people. No. By God's grace and His mercy and His compassion, these people believed, and therefore they were healed, and they were forgiven. Forgiven in Christ. Never forget that the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body, when you will see your Redeemer in the flesh, those two things are not exclusive from one another. By being forgiven now, you are an heir to our Lord's everlasting kingdom. You will share in a resurrection like His. And remember that His resurrection from the tomb testifies to the entire world that not even death can hold the Son of God in the grave. And we end with this word from our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what our Lord says in the Gospel of John, in conjunction with His raising of Lazarus from the dead. Here Jesus says this, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die." Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.